Hello, everybody. It's Riggs. We got a great show. This is our second show of the week. As I mentioned, we are doing two shows per week from now on. My voice is back, so congrats to me. It feels good. We have got the whole squad back. It's myself, Frankie Bro, the Pizza Maker, and Slim Daddy Trent. We got a lot of headlines to talk about. Look, we got Phil and Tiger, their $10 million match. Are we happy with it? What do we change about it? What do we need to see from it? We got Phil with another rules violation. Did he do it on purpose? We get into that. LPGA player, just whiffs, just straight up whiffs. Transfusions, we go through the transfusion. A lot of confusion about the transfusion out there. How do you make it, Riggsy? We go through all of that, exactly how you need to make it. Frankie Borelli, well, he talked about how he got into some trouble drinking some transfusions this past weekend. A bunch of from the galleries. We had a handful of laugh out loud from the galleries. So throwing it back to our roots a little bit. Before we get into that, you know, obviously we are buzzing from Cabot Links, from Cabot Cliffs. A lot of questions. You know, we did about an hour and 15 or 20 minute podcast earlier this week on the entire trip. Got a million questions from people, so I'm just going to go through a couple of the most frequently asked questions. Number one is cost. Everybody asks, what does it cost for, you know, what did it cost you guys for this and that? Look, the rates change seasonally, okay? So if you go in May, it's going to be a different cost than if you go in mid-July. If you're from New York, it's going to be a way different experience and even cost and flight and all that than if you go from California. If you stay in a four-person villa, a four-bedroom villa with just four people, it's going to be way more expensive than if you stay in hotel rooms of four people or if you get eight people into a villa and all of that. So it's going to change for everybody. What I will say is this. The golf course, Cabot Cliffs, which again I believe is the single best course I've ever played. If you do the conversion, which by the way, we were off on the conversion, it's like the Canadian conversion is like 0.76 of a US dollar. And we said like 0.6, so we weren't even really close. A bunch of people tweeted me about that. The conversion is a round of golf, even in peak season at Cabot Cliffs, cost $177.99 right now, USD. A round of golf at Pebble Beach is $600. Okay, and I would say Cabot Cliffs is a better golf course. I think Pebble Beach is phenomenal. I've played four rounds there. It's awesome. I've talked about it. It has maybe the best three-hole stretch on planet Earth. Pebble's phenomenal. You can play 3.5 rounds almost at Cabot Cliffs for what it costs to play one round at Pebble Beach. Go to the website. Go check it all out for yourself. Build your own trip. Email me, and I'll set you up with the right people so you can figure it all out. But get up there because the place is fucking awesome. There's a reason that we went so crazy about it. You saw it all over social media. You saw my new video I just posted, Riggsy against Cabot Cliffs number 16. We're going to be doing those from every course we play. You can see how cool it looks, how awesome it looks. The weather was perfect. It's just a no-brainer. You're dumb if you don't go up there. And I'm not saying that. I don't get paid by the resort. I make no money from that. I just genuinely want people that love golf as much as we love golf and buddies, trips, and having a good time to go to the right places and spend the right amount of, you know, spend their hard-earned money going to the right places. I've been to 10 or 15 golf resorts in the States, really all over. But I would say I've been to 10 or 15 in, I guess, North America, Canadian, US. And I've really boiled it down to, I think there's three top ones that I've been to. I haven't been to everyone, but you know, Stream Song, Bandon, and Cabot. Stream Song's awesome. I talked about Stream Song. We did a whole podcast on that as well with Lurch and my other buddy E. Stream Song is fantastic. It's got three golf courses, a Gil Hans, which is obviously a friend of the program that we had on, a Corey Crenshaw, and a Tom Doak. Amazing golf courses. The property is insane. It's like it's from another planet because you're in the middle of Florida, but they've got all this sand that is built up from the mining, so it's spectacular. And there's a time for it. I think if you're gonna go in the middle of winter, or you live maybe southeast or even eastern seaboard, you can make a really good argument that Stream Song is the best place for you to go. However, I believe Bandon and Cabot are a significant notch above. I think Stream Song is phenomenal, and I would say Bandon and Cabot are 10 times better. I honestly believe that. I feel that. You know, I've been talking up Cabot a ton the last couple days because we just came back from there and because I think the Cliffs course is the best course that I've ever played, but also Bandon is spectacular. Bandon's got five golf courses, if you include the 13-hole par 3 course, the Preserve. Each is different in its own way. They're on cliffs as well. It's just an unbelievable property. So Bandon is spectacular. A lot of people are asking me Bandon or Cabot. I think a lot of it depends on where you live and exactly what you're looking for. You know, I think that at Bandon, you know, we were pretty much in bed every night immediately after dinner, 8:30, 9 o'clock. We were up early. It was a pure buddies golf, hardcore to the max. We had one day where we played like 40-something holes, 49 holes in one day. Cabot, don't get me wrong, the golf is also fantastic, but there's an incredible pub with the locals, with the Canadian, the Inverness Canadian people, how nice they are, how friendly they are, a pool table with, again, it wasn't just the boys playing golf, it was a good mix. We threw a huge rager at our villa that overlooked the Gulf of St. Lawrence, so it was a different experience, and on top of that, the golf was on the cliffs. I also want to say about Cabot, don't sleep on the links course. Don't sleep on the links course, folks. The Cliffs course is amazing. The links course, like I said, the first time we played it, we looked at each other and said, how could the other course be better than this? It's that good. It's got a bunch of holes on the water. You can pretty much see the water from everywhere. It's got that, whatever hole that was, the fifth or sixth hole, that wraps around the harbor, is just one of the coolest golf holes I've ever played. So, again, I want people to go and have the cool types of experiences that we've had. So that's why I'm here trying to provide all the information. The other main question that I get is, hey, Riggsy, is this course, is this place, is Cabot too difficult? Let's say I've got my dad's an 18 handicap or a 22 handicap. Is it too difficult? The exact opposite. Okay, the design philosophy of Coren Crenshaw is to make courses playable. It goes back to the old Scottish links, where they are wide open off the tee. It's very difficult to lose golf balls, and they tighten it up, and it gets harder the closer that you get to the greens, which is great because around the greens, you can do bump and runs. You can putt a lot from off the greens. Hegsy here is an 18 handicap. He birdied the 17th hole at Cabot Cliffs, one of the most spectacular par fours on planet Earth. He birdied it, and he found the course incredibly playable. Isn't that right, Hegs?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, it's very playable. Thank you, Hegs. Really, very, very confident there. It's just built to be playable. It is way better than if you go to a lot of these Florida type resorts where there's water everywhere, water-lined fairways and greens. This is completely different and completely better than that, because those other courses, if you're spraying it a little bit, you have to take a drop. You drop left and right. I've done it before. I did it a couple months ago when I went to North Carolina. Where's Charleston? North Carolina? South Carolina? I think it might be South Carolina.
South Carolina, yeah.
When I went to South Carolina, same deal. I was off one day. I lost like 12 golf balls. There's just water everywhere. This is so much different than that. Like I said, you can kind of blast it off the tee. It makes it playable for everybody. It makes it very fun for everybody, and that is not by accident. The design is that way. There's going to be some tough tee shots. Don't get me wrong. Not every single hole is just easy. It's challenging. It's incredibly challenging, but in the right way, and in the way that golf was meant to be played. So do not worry about that. On top of all of that, I talked about the nightlife and all that. At Cabot, I mean, there was tubing. We were supposed to go tubing down a river, like a whitewater river one day. Unfortunately, it was so windy that it got called off that day. They were taking people off the river. There's kayaking. There's deep-sea fishing. We almost went deep-sea fishing. We had to make a decision, like, do we want to go deep-sea fishing or play maybe the greatest golf course on planet Earth again? We chose to play the course, but there's a ton of things to do. You can go kayaking. Should look up some of these pictures on their website of people kayaking by these cliffs, this still water in the cliffs. So there's a ton of shit to do up there. Those are the best recommendations I can give. Those are the most frequently asked questions and the way that I will respond to them. Now we've got the OG squad, Trent, myself, Frankie. We've got a lot of golf to talk about. Let's do this.
I would look at Barstool all the time and look at, you know, their stuff that they post. And some of it's like absolutely stupid, but some of it's actually quite amusing and funny. Stuff like that is what we need to get people to, or attract people to the game of golf.
Nice to be here, boys. Congratulations on all that you're doing, as mediocre as it is.
These newer, younger, hipper platforms like Barstool Sports.
Tiger's had three back surgeries. He's had one fusion.
We welcome in from Barstool Sports, Riggs and Trent. Guys, welcome to the show.
Foreplay presented by BarstoolSports.com. Second show of the week.
Yes.
We are doing two shows a week. There's just too much stuff. There's too much content. There's too much we want to do. Like the last month and a half, every show has been like 2 hours long. Mm-hmm. So it's just too much. We love it. We got a ton to do. There's different guys we want to interview. There's different aspects of the game we want to cover. All kinds of stuff going on. So two shows a week. We got the boys are back. We got Slim Daddy Trent. We got Frankie Borelli, the pizza maker.
Hello.
Pop Punk. Pop Punk's coming out when this podcast comes out. You guys will be performing that night.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
I can't stop thinking about it.
Are you nervous?
You have to be.
I'm nervous. I'm not nervous about the actual playing. I know that we can play. I know that we can actually like perform the songs. I'm more nervous about just the show of it. Like, you have to like bob your head and do all that shit. Like, there's a difference between obviously playing in a little studio or in your basement and then playing at Irving fucking Plaza.
For sure.
In front of 1,200 people.
Irving
Most of them,
Plaza.
Like, Green Day just played there like yesterday. Like, they took Green Day's like sign off the marquee and just put like Pup Punk presented by Barstool Sports up. It's a sold out show. It's unbelievable what we're doing, but I mean, we have some talented people, and I mean, PFT is something that I've never seen before. The fact that he can just like, he leaves his guitar at the studio, comes in and just plays like Freebird. Like, I've never seen anything like it. He doesn't even like practice, he just plays. So yeah, we're pumped.
He's incredibly talented. Frankie's the drummer. So you got to bring, you'd be like sweating. You're going to be wearing like a tank, like a wife beater. Like, what are you going to be
rocking? We may be doing different, I don't know if we're doing outfit changes. We probably will be, because we're going on and off the stage a bunch of times. I'm starting out like, School of Rock preppy. Like, I'm looking like Green Day. So I'm going to go like white collared shirt, spiky hair, really tight black ripped jeans. So I'm going to try and look like I'm in.
Then you are going to be drenched by the end of it.
Drenched.
Just fucking shredding the
drums. I'll probably end up looking like Travis Barker with my shirt off afterwards.
Which is a great look. Yeah. The post show pictures are going to be off the charts.
Unreal.
Have you been growing out your hair so you can spike it up?
I haven't cut the top yet, so I'm going to try and spike it.
Yeah.
That's curls, though. So we'll see what happens.
That's great. I love that you're like a emo drum rocker and also a golf podcaster.
I know.
You don't get that all the time.
A boy that wears many hats. I keep getting called a pizza boy. It's like a new thing. I mean, I told you
that
guys
would,
this.
That would infuriate me. If people call you boy.
It's a new just like wave.
Isn't the OG of that at a bar? Some guy was like, what's up, pizza
boy?
No,
I was with you at Dave Matthews at Radio
That's
City.
That's right.
Radio City Music Hall. Some guy came up to Smitty and Riggs and was like, what's up, guys? What's up, pizza boy?
Yeah.
And I was like, well, fuck.
Ruined Frankie's night.
I think I'm a pretty chill guy, but if someone called me pizza boy, I think I'd punch him in the face.
Yeah.
That's so condescending and like mean.
Pizza boy.
Just to finish this little thing, I put my email in a pizza review the other day because Dave wants to have Cape Cod kids go bring him pizza on a ferry. It's a whole fucking thing. Mm-hmm. So I put my email in the video, and boy, did my email blow up. But I typed in, so you're able to filter your emails. I just learned this 1,000 emails later, and my email's a fucking disaster. But I filtered it so that it goes into a different file, and there's one that I just wrote like pizza, and then you can just see every single title is just pizza boy. It just goes up and down the list.
Come
just
on.
Pizza boy, pizza boy, pizza boy, pizza boy. It's nuts.
That's tough.
It hurts.
I would delete those.
All right, let's talk some golf. We've got a lot to get into. Reminder, if you're going to be out this week, this weekend playing some golf, this is an awesome time to book using Supreme Golf. They have the best app. They have the best website. I've said it 100 times. You are honestly just dumb if you don't use Supreme Golf to book. You go to supremegolf.com/barstool, or you just go download their app. Literally just go type in Supreme Golf, download their app. They have everybody you've ever heard of, okay? Every tee time. Be like, oh, do they have tee off? They have golf now? Literally everybody you've ever heard of, plus they just have thousands more.
I use Supreme Golf over the break.
Frankie's huge on Supreme Golf. We're all huge on Supreme Golf.
It's like Mill Pond.
You're so stupid if you don't use it. So go use Supreme Golf. Book yourself some tee times. Use it. Get it. They're quick. They're easy. They're awesome. They're our friends. They love foreplay. We got Phil and Tiger Woods are going to play a $10 million heads-up winner-take-all match.
My hair just stood up on the back of my neck.
This broke sort of over the break, like 4th of July break, kind of a weird time. Phil came out and confirmed it because he played last week at the Greenbrier. So he did have to do like a little presser. He confirmed it. He said the report was accurate, but I don't know what else to say. I'm sure as soon as we know more, we'll fill you in. But right now, I don't have much more to add. He went on to say that they were supposed to do it, and they're planning to have it all set up and do it on July 3rd. But whatever, logistics, they couldn't get all set in time. But the That what that tells us is they're pretty fucking serious.
That's
about
surprising.
This.
So this all started at the players, right? When Phil was like, "I don't know if he wants a piece of me." They had like a very funny back and forth, yep. little bit of banter.
Was that the players? Yeah.
Yeah.
Masters,
yeah.
they played practice round together, yes. and then players, they took it another step further. Like,
which,
oh yeah, we'd love
if
to.
The Stay Woke community, it almost seems like these guys have been almost working towards this. But for them to say that they almost had it planned out for July 3rd, they are very, very far down in the negotiations of this, which is exciting.
I think that the details on this very much matter. Like, if they put up their own $10 million, that would be, like, if you're taking, there's a huge difference, right, between, like, oh, the sponsorship and the TV money that they're going to put up for us to make it interesting is $10 million, and we just get to win $10 million, and if I don't lose it, like, I didn't have $10 million before, so whatever. Whereas, like, if Tiger Woods is taking $10 million out of Phil Mickelson's pocket, that's like he fucking cucked him.
Yeah.
The unfortunate thing is I would very much doubt that they're going to play with their own money.
Totally, which is like a right, like same deal with like poker when it's like you put up your like you get two poker stars against each other, or like you know a lot of us went through that poker phase like 10 years ago or whatever, the moneymaker effect and all that. Where I would like watch people online play like it's absolute studs play against each other online, and one guy would lose like $300,000 against the other guy in like an hour and a half playing like six tables heads up against each other, and you could just feel like he's on tilt, he's fucking going all in left and right, he's losing. Oh, he lost $30,000, $40,000, he's down $100,000. Holy fuck, it's awesome. Yeah. But you knew that money's coming out of his pocket, and that had a huge effect. This, I just think that's so important. I don't think we're going to get it. I definitely don't think they're going to.
Maybe they can each put up a mil. Like, yeah. they're not going to front the whole $10 million because there's going to be so many eyeballs.
Aren't
and
they
so
worth
many
so much money that it won't matter to you
but
mentally?
But it does, though, right? Like, I know, I understand that, but it does, right? Like, if I'm playing like, you guys or Lurch or somebody for, like, $100, right? That $100 doesn't really matter, but, like, I will be furious if I lose it. Like, that would be a very emasculating thing. Like, imagine if then right afterwards they should have, like, Tigers should have to, like, write Phil a check for $10 million on the camera and, like, hand it to him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That would be so dramatic.
Yeah, and I would say that no matter how much money you're worth, and these guys are worth a decent amount, $10 million is $10 million.
Totally.
Like,
it is.
Like, that's a lot of money, regardless.
Right. Like, when they, you know, like, when like Tiger gets divorced and whatnot, and they're like fighting over like a $9 million estate, like, yeah, dude, that's $9 million.
Realistically,
like, think about what you can do with $10 million.
What do you think Phil Mickelson is worth? 100 mil?
No, higher.
Higher?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I think he, you know, in his heyday, I think he brought in 40, 50, 60 million a year. I bet he's worth $300 or $400 million.
Okay. Yeah, I just looked it up. I mean, you never know with these websites, but it says, according to Forbes in 2016, 375 mil.
Wow.
Yeah, Tiger's what, right around a billion?
Yeah, I think the...
Because, I mean, all that he's taken in is over that, but, like, what are you actually worth? What do you still have?
Yeah.
He gave, whatever, $100 million to Elon and all that.
I think it was more than that, but yeah.
Yeah. So, again, like, that's still... Even if you're worth $300, like, he's giving away, that's a decent, like, chunk of what he's actually worth, right? Like, if
what's the percentage? Yeah, 10 of 375, and, like, if you're putting up your own money, that's a pretty good amount of, like, percentage.
I mean, if you've spent, right, Phil's, like, 48 or something, 47, if you've spent almost 50 years accruing $370 million, and you have to give 10 of it away, that's devastating. Like, are you fucking kidding me? That's, imagine
and
if you...
Phil's a degenerate gambler, so I feel like he's done that, though. Like, I feel like...
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Like, you know what I mean?
I bet it hurts every time, though, dude.
Probably
like,
does.
That's why you keep gambling, because it fucking makes you feel alive.
I agree with you. I just don't think it would... Even if they did this whole thing where they gave the check and for the fans, it'd be great, but, like, if you told me that, like, the sponsors behind doors weren't just, like, giving them that money back,
yeah.
It's crazy. So I feel like we'd never get a true...
Which is bummer.
Right.
But imagine if they played for, like, $100 million.
I'm more excited for that.
Just, like, just
you imagine
all
that?
Of their money. They put up both
whoever
the
pink loses
slip.
Just gets murdered.
Yeah. Or they, like, have to be homeless.
Right. Imagine if they were, like... Okay, if they were like, all right, once the players or the PGA Championship ends in August, then we're going to spend the entire next month just practicing and preparing, and at the like middle of September, we're gonna play our own major championship for $100 million of our own money up against each other. Like, that would be. Can you imagine watching that?
Well, I was gonna bring this up with. We read the Tiger Woods book, great book, right?
Yep.
Our boy
Armin Katayan.
Yep.
People love that interview.
When I read
it was
that,
an awesome interview.
I mean, that guy's the best.
That guy's awesome.
When I read that book, I was stunned. I guess I was just too young. I was like 6 years old when this happened, but Tiger Woods did do this before many times. They had a thing called Monday Night Golf.
I was too young too.
And it happened in 1999. It was Tiger Woods versus David Duval. They played for $1 million, and the ratings were higher than the final round of the U.S. Open that year. The only thing that they didn't surpass was the final round of the Masters. So people watched just two golfers go head-to-head. They called it the showdown at Sherwood. They had unreal names. The next year was Tiger Woods versus Sergio Garcia, and the name was the 2000 Battle at Bighorn. Like, if we start getting names like
that,
this
sounds like a historical, yeah.
The battle at Bighorn, Tiger Woods versus Sergio Garcia.
This is better
desert
than the PGA Championship. Yeah. This is literally better than the PGA Championship.
Tiger Woods versus Phil Mickelson with an unreal name, whatever golf course they play at, the battle at blank, whatever the golf course is. I will clear my schedule for a month leading
they
up
actually,
to that.
So they're moving the PGA to May, right? That's like their big thing. It's going to be different. They should move the PGA Championship to May. And instead of doing a full field and everybody, they should just have like four stars play against each other in the same group. And that's the major. That's just whoever wins it wins like $100 million.
I'm very much waiting for the old crusty media guy take of that Phil versus Tiger is going to ruin golf because it's just giving people what they want without having to do anything for it. Like the biggest problem with the majors, people say you don't get the big showdowns on Sunday, right? They try to front load the matchups so you get these big names together. But Tiger and Phil are like, well, maybe we should just play each other. So now we just get this mainline perfect golf that we want and people are going to be like, we should just do this all the time.
And I, you know, the old crusty guy, right? They're going to be like, well, there's so many other stars in the game, and the game is so deep now. And what that? I get it. I totally understand it. And I do believe there are times when the big names aren't in the mix that those guys can be interesting. But on the overall, on the whole, they're boring as fuck. And we would way rather watch Tiger Woods. And the beauty of this, right, is that all we have to watch, the only thing we get to watch for the whole match, is the two of them.
Amazing.
They're talking. They're interacting with their caddy. They're flustered. Tiger's walking around. I told you, I want to watch Tiger take his hat off and then wipe the sweat off of his forehead with his arm. I love when he does that. Yeah. I just want to watch that. I just want to be like, oh, Tiger.
A lot lately too.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, it must be, according to Tiger, it looks like it's hot out. I hope he feels cooler than he looks. Like, that's, I care about
this. I would imagine this will get bigger numbers than a Sunday round at Augusta. The way that social media is now, everybody's going to know about it, and everybody's going to tune in. I think it will do better.
It'll definitely beat some big, big events. Augusta usually takes the cake, but it'll be interesting. It'll be very interesting to see. And again, I understand the arguments on both sides, and I just don't care. I want to watch it. I just don't care.
Can I ask you this?
It's a money grab. I get it. I don't care.
And I want to preface it by, I want this to happen. I want the match to happen. It sounds like it's going to. Why would you do this if you're Tiger Woods? Like, because Phil is clearly the guy who's pushing this. He's like, he's the one who's speaking out about it. He's like, we're going to do it July 3rd, but it didn't work out. He's the one who brought it up at the Players. Tiger Woods is clearly the better golfer than Phil in this generation. If you're Tiger, why are you taking this? I know that he's very competitive and he wants to like win that $10 million. But if you're Tiger, you really have nothing to lose, everything to lose.
Do you think it's like an enlightenment thing? Like Tiger's the new guy. He's doing new stuff. He's trying to appear like friendly. He wants people to be able to see him for 3 hours straight, like while playing against Phil and interacting. Like, because he's done this with Rory.
Yeah.
He did it with Rory like a couple of years ago over like overseas somewhere. So like he's done it. It is interesting like what his, like, I don't know. It's interesting. You got to wonder that guy's brain. Very complicated, as we read in Tiger Woods by Armin Katayan.
I think it's probably what Riggs is saying. That's probably what is going on, that he's just trying to shed a better light on his personality and his persona. But I like to think of it as, like, he wants to be back on top. He's using this as a stage. Like, hey, I can't get to the final.
Slap Phil down the staircase.
I can't get to the final pairing right now on Sunday. Like, let me just fucking make my own final pairing, and I'm just going to dominate someone.
I think Tiger might want people to think that, hey, look at me. I'm, like, being a nice guy now. But I think it boils down to he doesn't like when Phil says that the players, no matter if he's joking or not, I don't think he wants a piece of me. Let's play for 10.
I think he wants to raise a trophy. And he wants to, like, feel that feeling again. He wants to just like win money. He wants to raise a trophy. He wants to backhand Phil and be like, you little boy, you sit there, I'm better than you.
I mean, the other argument is like maybe he just wants to make $10 million. Yeah. Like,
I would love to make $10 million.
Yeah, and I bet him and his team and like his agents and agency and all that, like TGR, whatever his foundation, are like guaranteed to get millions somehow from all this. So he's like, yeah, sure, we'll just guarantee ourselves millions. And like, if I win, that'd be sweet. I can raise a trophy. I can like I said, I can slap Phil and point at him and demean him. And like, I still dominate you and own you and all that.
And I suppose if Phil wins, nobody's going to be like, oh, well, he was better than Tiger the whole time.
Totally.
Wow.
It is weird though that he's opening himself up to like, because I do think that they will somewhere deep down like care that that's on their resume, that they lost that heads-up match.
For sure.
All right. It'll be interesting to see. In theory, that should be coming up relatively soon if they were going to do it last fucking week. Phil, stay on Phil. Second rules violation at the Greenbrier. Goes up, taps the grass down, the high grass, before he hits his tee shot. calls the penalty on himself right away. Stay woke Riggs believes that he did this on purpose to then showcase that he can call rules on himself, and he's not like his legacy's not ruined as like some wild cheater.
I wrote a tongue-in-cheek blog and said that Phil is the new bad boy of golf because he just can't stay out of the rules violation. It's great. I like it.
I think he did this on purpose. I think he did it on purpose so that he could then instantly call a rule on a violation on himself. Be like, look, I called a penalty on myself. I'm a great guy.
I don't know. Maybe.
Oh, man, this whole rules violation thing, man.
Who the fuck else would do that?
I know.
You can't go up and tap the grass. No. He knows that. You can't just like move. Like, imagine if I just went up and moved a tree out of the way before I hit a tee shot.
It's either.
Like, what are you doing?
Anyone either, knows the rules? It's Phil Mickelson. All
right. That's right. He doesn't
what
not know that.
Is it either what you're saying, Riggs, he did it on purpose, or Phil is losing his mind. He's like your grandpa whose mind is just going.
Yeah.
He's been doing some weird shit recently.
Like, imagine you're chipping behind a bush and you just went up and just like, you were like weed whacking with your club and you just like sliced the bush in half and you're like, oh, I can chip right over this now. Not a problem. He literally did the same thing. He like moved grass out of the way. What are you doing, dude? So that was a wild move. Just keep staying in the limelight, like you're saying. We had this LPGA player, Beatriz Ricari. She's actually a Solheim Cup player, so like I've seen her play a little bit and stuff. She's a good player. Fucking whiffs, just blatantly whiffs on the tee box. I saw this. You know, you're scrolling through your timeline, you see stuff, and you don't have like the volume on and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I assumed that she did she was attempting to do a Tiger. Stop your swing because of a camera or a bird flew over or something, and that it was like, oh, she didn't actually whiff. It was like she technically stopped intending to hit the golf ball and this would be fine. No, she's fucking her foot like slipped. She's missed the golf
ball.
She's
missed.
On a tee with a driver.
I like that she did the, after she missed, she did like the basketball players do it a lot where they kind of, oh, my shoulder kind of hurts. She did like stomped her feet a little bit like something was wrong.
Yeah.
She's like, no, you just whiffed.
No, you have to. That's like playing hockey when you would just fall sometime. You'd always check the bottom of your skate blade. Be like, oh, the guy yeah. in the pro shop sharpening my skates must have fucked something up. No, dude, you just fell, dumbass.
This was a good one for all those hackers out there to just see, you know, a professional, an actual golfer on TV, you know, take an attempt at a golf ball and just miss. I mean, everyone's been there. I mean, I don't know the last time I was there, but probably when I was like 8 years old. Not
I know when I was there.
You swung and missed recently?
I mean, I wouldn't say recently. It was in college.
Okay.
And it was, you know, I was probably at the time like a, I don't know, like a 10, 12 handicap.
Yeah.
And it was teed up. Ball's teed up. I have a driver. The second hole at Newton Commonwealth. For anybody that's out there, it's in the Boston area. It's a little west of Boston. Newton Commonwealth. They always say you got to bring your hard hat because it's like a 5,400 yard 18 hole golf course. That's like the holes are basically on top of each other. You're like hitting across other holes and shit. It's chaos. Very fun golf course. It's on the side of like these Newton like hills. But anyways, second tee, par 5. And it was when I was in college, and I was the most hungover person in the world. I think we went to bed at like 5:30 in the morning, had like an 8 o'clock tea time.
Oh.
So I was like actually just super drunk still, but like also in that weird hazy hungover face. And it's slow as shit out there a lot of times when you play. So we get through the first hole, whatever. Stand on the second tee, and we're standing on the second tee for like 15 minutes. So there's a build up behind us. So there's like a whole group of four people on the tee waiting, and our whole group of four. And it's a tough tee shot. I'll give myself that. And I teed it up on the right side of the tee box, just trying to play like a little draw. And I just swung and looked up, and the ball just wasn't in the sky. And I just looked down. It hadn't even oscillated. I hadn't even touched the golf. Missed it by like 6 inches.
Stayed on the tee?
Oh, just I didn't even touch the golf ball. I just missed. And I just started my routine again. My buddy was just, he didn't even say a word. He was just like, what?
That's something you just bury deep and you all just forget about.
Yeah.
You just don't bring it up ever again.
Yeah, and then I ended up making par on my second ball, but it was just like a 6 because he was like, well, you just missed. Like.
I played with my dad. Oh, speaking of my dad.
Oh, wow, Mr. Borelli.
Played with him for the first time in a long time, right?
Yeah.
We just haven't, like, he's busy on the weekends with the restaurant, and during the week I can never take off. He always plays, like, he'll play with a buddy or by himself at our, like, public course by our house during the week. He'll try and get out for twilight and stuff. I just can't make it. So I finally got a chance to go out there and play with him. And a couple holes in, and I'm watching him, and he's playing well. He doesn't hit a long ball. He's hitting it down the middle, and he's playing, and he's, like, keeping up with me. And then he, like, starts dubbing some shots, and I'm, like, making jokes from across the green, like, oh, am I rubbing off on you? He starts, like, dubbing, like, wedge shots. And then I say, well, where the fuck is your square strike that I bought you for Father's Day? You know, like, the cheating club.
Right.
He's like, oh, like, I'm just, like, using this one, whatever. I'm like, okay. He's, like, using a pitching wedge of 7-iron. So another hole comes up, and I'm on the other side of the green, and I'm like, I'm reading a putt, and he's chipping, and he just sculls another one over the green. I'm like, well, now why aren't you using the golf club? I want to see how it
got
works.
Got you the right club.
I got you something. And he looks down, and he just like shakes his head. He goes, I lost it.
What?
Oh, he goes, he didn't have the heart to tell
you. He didn't have the heart to tell me. He's like, I can't believe you keep asking me about this goddamn club. I was going to order one on Amazon. Like I had it all ready to go. I lost it. And he's like, I just haven't had a chance to buy another one. I was going to put it in my bag. He's like, I feel horrible. He's like, it was my first round out there. He took it out. He hit it. He said he hit four great shots, checked up right next to the hole. People were like, what the fuck is that golf club? He's hiding it in his bag and stuff. He doesn't want anyone to see. He's doing his old thing.
Yeah.
And he says he just left it somewhere on a green, went back. Someone probably stole it. He went back the next day to even check if the pro shop had it. They said no. He went back the next day. Went back a week later. Nothing.
Oh, I feel so bad now.
I know. I felt bad. I was like, oh, Dad. I was like, it's all right, man. You can hit a bump and run with the driver. I don't give a shit. I just wanted to see the goddamn club.
Dad, you should have just told me. I don't care. Yeah. I love you, buddy. Yeah. Oh, man.
So that happened.
I have, like, secondhand sadness.
I know. I know. It sucked because I was so ready to see that club in
especially
action.
Especially, he's like, we haven't played together in months, and that the minute we're going to play together, I don't fucking have it. He's like, Jesus
Christ.
And
then looking back, the way he was answering on, like, why he wasn't using the club was so just, like, there was no reason for it. He's like, I just want to, like, practice the petrol. I'm like, you have a club that you're not practicing for anything.
No. You never
like,
want to practice play. Ever, you're Dad. Just you're just trying to hit low, good shots and beat your buddies for $5. I know.
Yeah. So we ended up playing over the break, and I played with him, and I played with my girlfriend's dad. And my girlfriend's dad's he's a funny player. He screams, and he gets crazy. He gets crazy on the golf course. He just, like, yells at himself, and he's like,
just
know,
like me. I love it.
Yeah, but he's just, like, more of, like, a – he's like just a big guy that just like he just misses. He goes like fuck, and he just like screams. And he swung and missed. And it was quite a scene. He just had a real short backswing, and he just went whoa, and just like looked up, and we were like whoa, like we all were just standing on the tee box like wow, like what just happened? Like he just blew up, and he took a huge divot. The divot went over the ball, and it just like the ball just like survived. Like the ball just survived this massive impact on the ground, and he just made just like a funny joke. He stepped back. He goes, all right, just a nice little practice. Like, just, you know, we're just going to get back up there. I'm like, okay. Like, he's done this before.
This guy's going to lose his fucking – he's trying not to just explode, right?
We were
now.
Like, me and my dad looked at each other like, please, God, please hit this next ball because we don't want to get hit with the golf club.
That is like when someone is playing poorly and they're a psychopath on the golf course, you are so nervous over every shot watching, like, please let this guy hit a good one.
Just stripe one.
The next 10 minutes are going to be awkward as fuck if he hits a bad shot. I keep getting a bunch of questions, more questions about the transfusion. When we were up at Cabot last week, they didn't have the transfusion.
Wow.
So I'm on a campaign to get it added to the menu. I want it to be called either the Riggs or the Barstool transfusion.
The Riggs sounds great.
Yeah, yeah, the Riggs transfusion.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's nice. So Cabot, I know you're listening. Put that on the menu. Let's reprint the menus. I'll even help you with some of the cost of the reprint of the menu, but you got to put that on the menu, which it's not actually overly uncommon. We've talked about this before, for courses to not know. Like they either, when you say transfusion, they give you the look like, oh yeah, no problem. Or they're like, what the fuck are you talking about? So a lot of people, because every time, you know, we're doing Instagram stories, we're drinking, we're getting a little drunk on the course, we're always like talking about transfusion. So a lot of people have been asking me, so I'm going to give the recipe again, okay? It's vodka, usually a double. Ginger ale, you fill it almost to the top. You got to leave a little bit of room, but then you do double vodka, ginger ale almost to the top, and then you do a splash, maybe two splashes of grape, maybe two, but it's pretty much a splash. It's nothing more than that. A splash of grape juice. If they don't have grape juice, you can substitute that for cranberry juice, which is what we were doing at Cabot. But I will say, as awesome as they are at Cabot, the first day I was given the recipe and they were like, we just don't have grape juice. And I was like, go with cranberry, not a problem. Still delicious, drinking them. The next day we came back, we're like, we're going to do transfusions. Here's how you make them. You got to use the cranberry. And they're like, oh, no. We ordered a bunch of grape juice. You guys are good to go.
That's unreal.
Yeah, phenomenal. But that is the recipe. It's vodka, usually a double. Ginger ale almost all the way to the top. Just a splash of grape, and boom, you're good to go. Transfusion,
now,
best drink.
Over the week, I also played Glen Oaks, which is, I think, the first time I ever had a transfusion with you, Riggs. We played with a couple buddies. So I played with these two guys, great guys. Shout out to JR and Alex. Had an unbelievable time. But we had a real early tee time, and the first thing that went down my that touched my lips was a transfusion. And There really is nothing like it. I mean, you're on the golf course, you're putting. It's an unbelievable golf course, Glen Oaks. And you just feel great.
It's in phenomenal shape all the time.
And like you're walking on like this like just spongy grass, and like just the drink just feels nice in your hand. It's in like this plastic cup. I think they double plastic cup it.
They do. At Glen Oaks, they double plastic cup it. So it just feels like you have this firm, like impenetrable like thing holding your,
now, let
your
me tell
delicious
you,
transfusion.
I got so drunk on this golf course that I saw three balls at one point on the 17th hole. We were on 18, like the DJ hole.
Yep.
And I'm like, I'm going to fucking blast you over the hole. And I just like put it 3 feet into the water. Like, I've never gotten that drunk on a golf course. I must have had seven transfusions because you know it better than anyone. They just keep bringing them out to you.
Yes,
guy's just on a golf cart and he just like comes and brings them out to you.
Yep.
I was like, please stop doing this. It's 12 o'clock in the afternoon.
I got things to do later.
I'm going to die out here. I'm going to die out here.
And they go down. The transfusion goes down so smoothly.
I got so drunk. I'm 24 years old. My mother picked me up from the golf course. I left my golf
cart. Smart move.
I left my car.
Great move, Frank.
I was walking out to my car. I was stumbling. I'm like, if I get into my car right now, I'm not only going to get arrested, I'm going to die.
Yes.
And I was like, transfusions will do that to you, man.
Shout out to being very responsible. Yeah, but I will say this. That's one of your first transfusion experiences, so that's just going to happen. And that's a little warning to all the listeners out there that haven't had transfusions before.
Oh, they hit you.
Is the first time they feel, it's one of those, it's like punch at a college party.
Yep.
Where it's like, oh, this stuff's delicious. There's nothing in here. I can drink it. And it's like you have two or three glasses of it and you're just annihilated. So you got to be careful with the transfusion. Yep. It's so delicious that you'll drink a bazillion of them, it'll hit you hard. That's the beauty of it. That's what's awesome about it. But it's just a warning. You can't plan on driving home the first time you have them.
No.
Or really
have
any time that you have them. Have your mom on the ready. But that's the transfusion recipe. Again, it's a vodka, usually a double. Ginger ale nearly to the top, just a splash of grape juice, maybe two, but usually just a splash, and boom, you're going to have yourself
a
great time.
Why didn't you call an Uber? Are you just like, I need mom right now?
I don't know. Okay. I think I had been texting her at the time.
He was using
like,
logic.
I think I was like texting at the time, like, oh, how are you doing? And I'm like, I'm done.
I
wrote back, I'm done. She's like, what does that mean? I was like...
you were in a good place, weird place.
The members had left, they had to make a flight, and they're just like, Frankie, you could just like, you and me, I brought my buddies. He's like, you can just like hang out. And I was like, okay. And we just had another transfusion.
Don't tell me twice to just hang out.
I was mixing it up with just like these like guys in the clubhouse. I'm like, what's up? You guys have these transfusions? They're like, it's 11 a.m. Like, sir, we're having coffee.
That's great. All right. We got to hit some from the gallery because we haven't done some in a while. We're built up. We got a handful of really good ones. If you're booking tee times this weekend or any weekday ever, you have to use Supreme Golf. Reminder, they're the Kayak, they're the Trivago, they got golf now tee times, they've got tee off, they've got everybody, plus thousands more discounts, all kinds of good stuff. It's super easy. You can even set a notification, boys. Set a notification for one of your favorite golf courses. Say, hey, the current price I'm seeing it at is just a little bit too high. So you can set a notification, and when that golf course offers a tee time at the price that you want it to offer, boom, Supreme Golf will give you a notification. It's awesome. They're the best. So go to supremegolf.com/barstool or just go into your app searches, app store, Supreme Golf, boom, get Supreme Golf. Use it to book tee times. Delete everything else. Every other golf tee time app, just delete them because they've got everybody you've ever heard of, plus thousands more. Supreme Golf, Supreme Golf, Supreme Golf. You're a dumb person if you don't use them. So Noah, we've got Noah sent us a good question. He said, if you could have any professional golfer swing past or present, who would you take? He said, personally, I'm taking Fred Couples' swing all day.
He took my answer. Freddie Couples was my answer.
Just maybe the smoothest person, first of all.
Yeah.
Freddie's just like, he just walks, he's gorgeous.
When you watch him play golf, he's playing golf, but he could be doing a million other things. He looks like he's on the beach all the time.
Yeah, he's just the most laid-back guy in the world with the most laid-back swing in the world.
Yeah.
I think Freddie's a great answer.
This may be a lazy answer, but it's that guy from a couple weeks ago. Was it Hyesung Choi or something?
Oh!
I mean...
Oh,
what a pick.
What a pick.
I mean, if I'm stepping onto the fucking...
Hyesung Choi.
If I'm stepping onto the tee box and I'm looking like a gazelle out there, I mean, I'm turning heads. I'm hitting the golf ball like a fucking pro. I'm making a scene. I have to be a great golfer to have that swing, though. That's the problem.
That is such... Well, so that's exactly what I was going to say. If that is such a good answer because being able to swing as electric as that and be a professional golfer is so unbelievably cool. Imagine walking up to the first tee with like some boys, or like you just join a group and you start swinging like that. And be like, what the fuck is this moron doing? And then it'd be like, he's 400 through 10 holes. What is going on here? That's a great call.
Like 70-yard wedge shots, and I'm just pirouetting and spinning towards my bag, and they're just like, what is going on? My ball's 3 feet from the fucking pin.
That is such a good call. Mine is Arnold Palmer, the helicopter.
Love it.
His helicopter finish is just my favorite thing in golf because, as someone who plays with a viciously closed club face and gets chirped online ruthlessly for it, one guy told me...
Oh, I was going to tell you, very brave of you to put up your swing a bunch of times when you were at Cabot.
Yes.
That's people don't realize that that takes guts.
Well, you know
people
what
are going to be very mean online.
You know here. What I determined, Trent Daddy, is that that was a very common man move.
It is.
And other media members don't do it because they're like... You know what I mean? They're like,
yeah,
it's not about us. It's like,
imagine,
it's like we're supposed to be, we don't want like to be talking about our swings. We're talking about, like, no, we're talking about me. Like, I want, that's totally fine. This is a common man swing. My swing's hideous. People
I'm
don't
sure
like it.
I'm sure your one mentions were a dumpster fire, so I respect that.
One guy said, Riggsy, I love you, buddy. You have a backswing only a mother could love. So I was going through that. We were like 10 transfusions deep on the cliffs of Nova Scotia, going through my comments and mentions and just having a great time with it. But Arnold Palmer, because he's got everything I love. He had like the one of the least pretty swings for a legendary player of all time, mm-hmm. and just figured it the fuck out, right? He's like the most like blue-collar stud legend of all time and just figured it out. And me, as someone who fights the hooks, the closed club face situation, the only way that I can make the ball, like when I'm struggling, not go left, or whenever I do really have to, like if there's a vicious like dog leg right par five or something where you have to make the ball go left to right, the only way that I can do it is with an Arnie like crazy helicopter swing.
Yep.
So I love Arnie's swing. I think it's awesome.
I would also maybe say Jim Furyk, just because just to see what that's like. And I guarantee people when he was going up or coming through the ranks was like, that's just not going to work.
Totally.
And then he's like, it's just going to work.
Yeah, the beauty of Jim Furyk's swing, we always use him as a great example, is that if you or I or Frankie had Jim Furyk's swing, mm-hmm. and we posted it, 90% of people would respond and be like, you don't deserve to have a fucking golf podcast with that golf swing.
So right.
Jim Furyk's like top five all time.
He's like the most consistent golfer ever.
Of all time. So people are fucking idiots, which is the beauty. That's why I thought it'd be fun to add that. So great question from Noah. Heggs, who would you say?
Oh, gosh. I hate to say it, but I'd probably, if I could choose, I would go Rory, but I think it's already been chosen for me, and I got to go KJ.
I was going to say, if you don't say KJ Choi.
that's an
crazy.
Unbelievable comparison. When I saw that on Twitter, I
my God. I heard you laugh from across the room.
Yeah.
It was the best moment ever because we were, I think we might have told the story in the last podcast, but I can't remember. It was such a whirlwind. We're just standing in the middle of the fairway again on the cliffs of Nova Scotia, and one of the caddies goes, Hank just looks like a professional golfer. I can't name it. And then another caddy and Brett at the exact same time said KJ Choi. It was just...
I mean, the side-by-side picture is...
It's like you woke up that morning and you're like, I'm going to dress like KJ Choi today.
It was unbelievable.
The visor, the everything.
The color scheme, like everything. Obviously like the Asian heritage, like all of it. Hex, you just couldn't look more like KJ Choi on the golf course.
Yeah, I'm just all in on KJ now.
It's awesome.
There's worse comparisons. KJ Choi is a bad motherfucker. You see him
he's
out there,
awesome.
He's like a silent like killer.
He's awesome.
Yes.
KJ Choi is a legend. He's like... He's a Jim Furyk, not as on the same level as Jim Furyk, but like super consistent forever.
Yep.
Nothing fancy about his game and just like a money making machine.
Yep.
And he's just, nobody's ever said a bad word about the guy. He goes about his business. KJ Choi is an awesome comparison. We gotta talk about Sean. Sean sent in this email. He said, hey guys, it's only my second year in the Masters lottery, and I won two tickets to Thursday's round at the Masters. Obviously, I have a decision to make. Option one is to attend, but a very close second option is to sell them. What is your price point to sell this 100 or to sell these $115 tickets? What do you think I should do?
You got to go.
Are you fucking kidding me?
You
got to
go because
go.
It's one thing if you had gone before, but this is your first time. You fucking we've had so many people tweeting at us how devastated they are about not winning the lottery.
Non-stop.
This guy wins and then he's thinking about selling them. No, you got to go. Experience it for one time at least, and then if this happens again, maybe sell them. But you got
to
go.
If you're trying to sell them and like profit off of winning the Masters lottery and all of that, you don't deserve to be entering the lottery.
What are you going
to
buy with that money? Like, bubble gum? You're going to buy a stupid shirt or something?
Also,
go to the fucking Masters.
I would fear that if I sold them, like I wouldn't be able to go outside of my house.
I also
like,
don't think it's possible to sell them. I think they're
very
they like blatantly right, like these are not made for like reselling. Like you will be murdered and like brought underneath the Augusta dirt. And
are they like? They're like Comic-Con tickets. If you resell your Comic-Con tickets, you get banned for life.
I bet
the Masters have an even more stringent policy, like you're saying. They probably kill you.
You can't. You have to. There's a certain speed that you have to walk when you're in Augusta, or else you get banned for life. You think you can fucking start selling these things on a black market?
Yeah. No, I agree. Augusta comes and they like rip out your vocal cords so you can never speak again or something like that.
What is your life worth, basically? Yeah. If you want to sell these,
yeah.
So
like
that's your price.
What is your like security and comfort level for the rest of your life? Like, do you want to walk around looking over your shoulder for the rest
of your life? Imagine telling that story like, hey, I won the, because the Masters lottery gets brought up all the time amongst friends. And imagine being like, yeah, I won them one time. They're like, how was it? And like, I sold the tickets. You just won't be friends with those people.
Yeah, yeah, that's done. You're never playing.
And to the point that Riggs made, it's like, why are you joining it then? I mean, if you're just trying to make a profit, then obviously you're not in like the greatest spot, like, you know,
totally.
Financial wise.
Well, I would imagine
how much are you hurting financially, buddy?
Right, and then like if
profit?
You are, then you like obviously can't afford a trip all the way down to Augusta. So why are you doing it?
There's obviously people who enter the lottery who don't care about golf and do maybe just resell them. But this guy, he obviously listens to the show. He's writing in. He's a golf fan. Just go,
Sean. Go to the fucking Masters. Cruin writes in: is there any single person, any single golfer, that you would rather win a major than Tiger? Like one of your boys, kids, Renner, Dylan Meyer, somebody like that.
Kiz would be great.
I would say, like, we've been asked this. People have brought up, I would say people have generally brought up bad examples, but they've brought up, like, oh, you would rather Tiger win than, like, John Daly. That's what Dave said. We were like, yeah.
1,000%.
That's not even close. I will say, like, I fucking love Kiz. Kiz is just an awesome common man dude. He's a legend. And it would be, if, like, Kiz and Tiger were in the mix down the stretch, it would be very difficult for me to not root for Kiz to, like, win the Masters. Like, that would be so awesome for him to win the Masters.
Yeah, you almost, if it was came down to those two, you almost view it as, like, a win-win. Like, if Tiger wins,
I know.
Oh, my God, I get to shit on everybody who said he'd never win again. If Kiz wins, we're probably going to party with the fucking trophy.
I know. So it is one of those, and like I said, I fucking love Kiz. Kiz is the man. Kiz and I even go back and forth. Like, sometimes I don't know if he's happy with me because he's, like, boys with JT. So he'll text me and be like, you know, like, what the fuck? Why are you guys going at JT? So Kiz and I, we even go back and forth in our relationship, solidifies it a little bit more, right?
Yeah, we're back, it'd be weird if it was always buds. You know, cotton candy and roses.
Right.
Yeah.
We get into it with each other. So Kiz down the stretch, I don't know if I could root against him. I'd be pulling so hard for him, all of his boys, like all of his fucking, his South Carolina, like hillbilly boys that all went to like Rough and Rowdy and like fought in Rough and Rowdy and shit. Imagine how much they're, like how awesome their lives would be for a week just partying with Kiz in his green jacket.
Oh my God.
It'd be, and then Tiger's got 14 majors already, so it's kind of like, dude. But then it's also one of those things where you always, you can say logically and rationally how you would feel about something beforehand, but put in the scenario. Like, if Tiger's got a putt on 18, like a 15-footer to beat Kiz, like, am I rooting for that to miss?
I don't think you're. I think when the camera's on Tiger, you're like, who the fuck's Kiz? Honestly. At that point, when the camera's on Tiger and he's about to putt for the Masters and to win, fuck, man. There's no chance you're rooting for Kiz.
It's tough.
I know that you say it because it's what you want. Like, I would want, like, my best friend to win the Masters, obviously.
Right.
But, like, I wish that Tiger would. I also think it's a cool story if Tiger, like, dominates your best friend or, like, one of your good friends, one of your pals.
Imagine my brother was in the final group against Tiger. And it'd be like, on my 18, I'm like, sorry, Kyle, like, it's Tiger.
Like, it's almost cooler. It's almost just as cool to just get dominated by Tiger Woods on the golf course at Augusta on the last hole. It's, like, fucking awesome. It's, like, you're down
in
history.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's almost like Rocco Mediate is more famous for losing to Tiger 100%. Than like if he would have beat him.
Oh,
no, that's true.
I think that's 100% true.
Yeah.
You got beat with a guy with a like fucking ripped
Yang.
Up knee.
Like, yeah. Like, right. Like, Rocco is more famous than Y.E. Yang. Like,
yes.
People, you know what I mean? Because Tiger actually won that one, and Rocco was a key player in a more memorable tournament.
1,000%.
Whereas the one that Tiger lost, everyone's like, yeah, that one guy beat Tiger.
Like, people are just mad. They're like, I wanted Tiger to win.
Fuck that guy. Whereas Rocco, they're like, Rocco did everything. He fought hard. It was sweet. And then he didn't win. That was perfect.
It could be argued that it's worse for your career if you beat Tiger on a one-on-one coming at the end of a major.
Everybody just forgets about it.
Yes. Like,
yeah,
they get mad at you.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think if there's anybody else, but Kiz is definitely the one.
Yeah, Kiz is up there. I would love to see Kiz win the Masters or my brother. Mike asks a very age-old question. This is a good one. We've probably talked about it a little bit before, but it's always a good idea to talk about this one. He says he's playing Bethpage Black for the first time coming up in a couple of weeks. He's like a 6 or 7 handicap. Question, like, should I play the tips, get the full experience, test myself against, like, one of the hardest, one of the most, like, major championship venues on earth and see how I do? Or is that, like, a dumb move? Should I enjoy myself, play, like, the proper tees so that I can hit, like, mid-irons, short-irons into some greens? Frankie, what do you think the play is?
I think you hit the proper tees. You're not a professional player, and you're not going to enjoy the golf course as a professional player would, so I just think you play the proper tees. That's how I've always gone about it. I mean, you're going to enjoy yourself. You're going to hit shots, like you're saying. Like, you're going to be able to see the putts and the reeds, and you're going to be able to hit, like, wedges into the green and see how they spin, as opposed to, like, just fucking hitting out of the rough all day and hitting out of the fescue and, like, clawing your way onto the golf course. By the time you get up to the green, you're pissed at yourself. You're like, what the fuck? Because the black, the distinction between the pro tees and the tees that he's going to be playing are night and day. Like, some of them are just like 70 yards back into a little alleyway, and you're just like, what the fuck am I doing?
Like, what is that?
Long ass par threes that you can't even reach. It's crazy.
I don't know. What do you say? 6 or 7 handicap?
Yeah.
I think if you're at that level, there's something to be said for being like, all right, I'm going to play the way the pros did, and then you can match up against them. Say you play Bethpage Black and you play from the proper tees, and people are like, oh, how did you think you'd match up against the pros? It's like, well, I don't really know because I didn't play from the tips.
I get that. I would say the proper answer is don't play the tips. But I have been lured in many times to the desire to be like, hey, we're playing this iconic course. Let's tip it out, see how we do. I would say, like, if you've got 5 rounds at the black, do one of them for the tips. See how you do. It'll be fun.
Yeah, but
play 4 from the proper tees, or, like, your proper handicap tees, whatever. If you've got 1, I think Frankie's correct. I think you go out, like, you play, because it is, in theory, that is a relative experience, right? Like, you are playing, you're going to be able to hit your drives in a similar spot to where the pros hit their drives from the tee.
Correct.
And stuff like that. So it actually is more relative to that. So, but it is tough. I've been drawn in. I've been lured in. I will say, like, there are different trips that we've done with different crews who are, like, tips all the way, and then other times we play... like when we went to Cabot, we did like 1 in from the tips every time. So each course we played was like 6,500 or 6,600 yards, and it was incredibly just enjoyable. Where it was like, you can reach par 5s in 2 if you hit a good hard drive. Whereas like from the tips, it might have been like, dude, I ripped a drive on 3 par 5s straight, and I'm still like 280 out.
Yeah.
And it's like, what is that? 290. So I understand the argument both ways. I think, again, if you got like a handful of rounds, sure, go back on 1 and like beat yourself up and be like, this is what I shot against the pros course. But the other 4 rounds, you should just enjoy yourself. Steve sent in, I laughed out loud at this. Steve sent in a dream that he had. He says, boys, I had a very timely dream, with the British Open coming up, very timely dream that Riggs and Trent invited me out to play the old course at St. Andrews.
Mm.
He goes, I was so pumped to go on this amazing trip. When I got to the first tee, I noticed a dining table on the tee box. When I asked Riggs and Trent about it, they said it was normal in Scotland to tee off on a dining table. He goes, even though it was very clear that it wasn't normal. There was a bunch of crazy-looking people, as well as a deranged Frankie Borelli with a plate full of just butter knives sitting at the table.
Oh, damn.
He goes, of course, these distractions caused me to top my first tee shot, and I woke up from my dream very disappointed and shaking.
I mean, that's a horrifying. It's a horrifying experience.
Well, let me tell you. You know what the weirdest thing about dreams are?
Yeah.
Is that when you're in a dream, everything seems normal. That's the thing totally. That's the thing I don't like about dreams. They freak me out because like everything seems normal, and then you wake up and you're like, wait, Frankie had, and we are at a dining. What the fuck is going on? It's weird to me that in dreams you're just like, oh, okay, I guess this is just how things.
Yeah,
are.
And clearly this guy. I mean, he must be listening to a lot of our podcasts because he's got like Frankie with the butter knives.
Like, did I just come out of a room like wearing a waiter's suit with just like butter knives on a plate?
It says a deranged Frankie Borelli with a plate full of just butter knives sitting at the table and chirping me. So you were chirping him. He's trying to tee off with butter knives.
Wait, and then what he said, you tee off on the dining table or it's just there? I think it sounded like you tee off on the dining table.
I'm picturing he's inside like a huge hall, right? And we're all at a long-ass dining table, something you'd find in like the medieval times. And we're all just sitting around. He's up there like giving us a show on this dining room table. He's going to like hit it into I guess, a wall.
No, this is the first fairway. This is the first tee at the old course of St. Andrews.
There's
just a dining
there.
Table on the first tee. And he said, we told him it's normal in Scotland, you tee off on a dining table. So, like, there's just a dining room table on the first tee, and you have to stand up on the first tee on the dining table and hit your tee shot.
I'm on top of the dining table. Does the table have legs?
It was normal in Scotland to tee off on a dining table. Yes, of course it has fucking legs. It's a dining table. Do you guys not know what a dining table looks like?
I do know what a
dining
table looks.
How do you guys not understand this?
He's getting upset. I was thinking you maybe cut the legs off and you put the dining table on the ground and tee off of that.
It doesn't say that, Trent.
That's true.
It just says you tee off on a dining table.
That's true. That's weird.
It's a dream. It's a weird dream.
Yeah.
It reminds me of my recurring dream that I've said where I'm playing in the Masters and I can't tee off. Like I can't pull the trigger. There's always something wrong. like my glove rips in my backswing, or like right when I go to tee off, my ball falls off the tee ball, or like right when I go to tee off, like a helicopter crashes in the background. everybody stops and gets distracted, and this goes on until I wake up. I can't hit the tee shot.
Jesus,
yeah,
maddening.
That is.
Quick reminder: book your tee times. Use Supreme Golf. They are the best. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. They've got everybody you've ever heard of, a bazillion, quadrillion tee times. They do the notifications thing. They do everything awesome. Any other tee time app, you just delete it because this is the best one by far. Go to your app store, download the Supreme Golf app. They are the best. SupremeGolf.com/barstool. I believe that's pretty much all I got, gentlemen.
Okay.
Two shows a week.
Yeah.
A lot of golf to talk about. We're a week away from the British Open. We got the John Deere Classic this week. Our boy Dylan Meyer's playing in it. He had a big Saturday for the boys.
Yep.
From the John Deere.
John Deere, fifth major, as yeah. I've often said.
Yeah, I know. It's your kind of your home.
It is.
Your home base here.
Silvis, Illinois. It's about an hour and 15 from where I live. I've been there a couple times. It's a good tournament.
Hour and 15 from where you live. It's nice. A lot of your buddies going?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Every year.
It's awesome. PGA Tour, we should probably say, switched up the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
Couple of the big major moves are ones that we already knew about. The Players' Championship's going back to March, and then the PGA is going to May, which, again, we talked about. They are adding an event in Detroit and an event in Minnesota, which is awesome.
Yep.
We're Midwest guys, so those are kind of like whatever northern part of the Midwest, but those are cool places that it just feels like it's a good idea to have tournaments there. Huge fuck-up is they're taking the Boston event. It's not going to be a TPC Boston, will not be an annual event now. It's just on the rotation with the New York City-based courses. So the Northern Trust will just, like, every third year, I believe, will just, like, go up to Boston, which sucks because that Labor Day weekend FedEx Cup event for Boston was really cool. FedEx Cup has gone from 4 events down to 3.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to finish basically before football starts. I think like August 25th or something like that's the last event. So it'll be different. It'll be a shakeup next year. They kind of have to always do this because things just change, sponsors change, whatever. It's always about the money. It's all about trying to, you know, get the most juice out of the squeeze that they can. Does that make sense?
Juice, yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Juice awesome. Out of the squeeze.
But yeah, British Open next week, so we'll have a couple of huge episodes for you next week. That'll be all about the Open Championship. It's burnt as fuck over there. They've had just a crazy dry summer in Scotland.
Yep.
So everything is brown. I saw pics of Carnoustie. I mean, the ball is going to be running firm.
I've been following that Instagram account for I think since the last Open, and they post stuff on Carnoustie just like every day. It's nuts.
Nuts.
Golf course looks like there was a fire that was just burning.
Oh, it 100% does.
Our boy Ryan Whitney's out in Scotland,
yep.
Isn't he?
Yeah, Whit's out there.
Like Eric Carlson.
I saw
that
picture.
In the midst of like the craziest trade rumors, him going to like all these different teams. They're just like playing with him.
Playing golf in Scotland.
Playing golf in Scotland. I think he shot 69.
Whit. Yeah, I think I saw that. Whit's a good player. He's like a 3 or something, 3 or 4, but also we got to give him shit because when he played in the he played in like a Mass Am qualifier or something, and I think he said he had like 43 putts or something like that.
Yeah, I saw that.
So we got to chirp him for having, you know, when the pressure's on. Like, it's easy to do when you're just out with fucking Eric Carlson hanging out.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna try to get Whit and get Carlson or one of the other guys from his trip on, and I want to like interview them about their trip and go through some Scottish courses and stuff and just see how it's playing out there and all that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it looks fucking, go look at pictures of Carnoustie and other Scottish courses online right now because they are burnt out. It's going to be firm as shit. It's going to be Lynx Golf to a T. So we'll have a ton of stuff on Carnoustie and the British Open next week. Two shows a week. It's fantastic. We also got, keep your eyes peeled on the website and on our @4playpod Instagram and Twitter. We got some videos from Cabot that we're going to be putting out. We got like 3 or 4 videos we're going to be putting out. I think that's all I got, gentlemen.
Hit it hard.
Cool.
Hit it hard.
Well, I've won and lost against the best. This old road's been a hell of a test. I'm still driving. I ain't slowing down. There's rules I love to break and bend, mistakes I've made again and again. But I tell you this, my friends, I'm still around. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. No laying up, no holding back. Ain't afraid of nothing, it's a natural fact. I hit it. people would have given up by now. All the rough I've seen, these ups and downs, somehow I just keep on playing through. So all you critics, pull up a chair at the winner's circle soon. I'll be there with a high five and a smile for you. Hit it hard. Trying to tell me how to live my life. These lawyers and strings spending money like my ex-wives. Sure, I gamble and I drink and smoke three packs a day. Hell, ain't country music supposed to be this way? It's from the heart, man. I hit it hard, man. So far, man. Keep hitting it hard, man.